This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Game Time Episode 7. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and with me is my fellow gamer, Richard Bradbury.
Hello, hello.
And today, if you're lucky enough, I think 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
you would have been able to play one of the most anticipated games of the year.
Yes.
Probably of all PS4 and Xbox One owners itself. It is the Star Wars Battlefront.
Indeed.
So DICE, the guys behind it, they gave us the first glimpse of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's through a beta download.
Yeah.
That only lasted for a few days. Five, if I'm not
right.
mistaken.
I mean, we received a frantic message from a fellow gamer of ours telling us that the beta was available to download, which we did download and then quickly jumped on.
Yeah, so 5 days before they took it offline. And it was a very heartbreaking moment when you know, we tried to play. And,
it was.
You know, your experience was...
Mine was terrible. Right? I'd spent a few days trying to get online. I've had internet connectivity problems for quite a while. When I finally did get on, I spent an hour or so playing the kind of survival mode by myself. And I'm loving it, right? Having a lot of fun. And then I thought, well, I'll just test out my internet speed, see if it's decent enough to do the multiplayer. I have a couple of rounds on multiplayer, our mutual friend jumps online, I manage to see him online, and then, zoop, thank you for playing Star Wars Battlefront Beta. I'm like, you have to be joking.
Leaves you hanging.
The worst timing ever.
At least for me, I think it was a bit more easier, the pain, simply because I came back home, went online, and he was saying that could not connect to EA servers.
Ah, well, that was fairly painless then, right?
Yeah, didn't go through the whole, you know, chopping the arm kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we did manage to spend a few hours
on
the beta gameplay. I think I only played the single player option once, which is the survival mode.
Right.
So let's talk a bit about the survival mode first before we talk about multiplayer. The survival mode is, you know, you play as this character, and you're supposed to last out as long as you can, and it gives you a ranking point of,
correct,
you know, how do you fare compared to the rest of your friends, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then initially when I got into the game, immediately I'm just blown away by the sheer graphics, the visuals, the sound effects.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. Uh-huh. I mean, I didn't know how to fight, and, you know, I was just enjoying the visuals, and I died like a few times before I finally like, right, let's play it properly.
Right.
What about you? You played a lot.
I did. I also got top score. Can I just say that?
What?
Amongst the three of us, I got the top score.
That's the only reason, because you had bad internet connection, so you
absolutely
had to rely on survival.
No, I mean, I had quite a bit of time with it. I, as you say, the minute you kind of log on and you see the visuals, for the first few minutes, I'm just wandering around, you know. So thankfully, I had no teammates, otherwise they'd have been quite dead. It's a beautiful looking game. The map that I was on, I think it's on Tatooine or somewhere like that. It's a very simple, small map. But with lots of kind of avenues to run around.
Yeah.
So, as you say, you come up against increasingly difficult opponents. It starts off with just a few stormtroopers, and then it's an AT-AST, I think, the walker, whichever it is, the smaller two-legged walker. Anyway, so you start shooting against one of those, and then you get the kind of stormtroopers with the thruster packs, and it just goes on. And I think the beta gave you 6 levels to get through, where the official game release will have 15.
Ooh.
So, yeah, and you're supposed to do this whole on one life.
Yeah.
But throughout the game, you there is the ability to have pickups. So you can pick up an extra life. You can kind of pick up bonuses, and you can kind of boost up your weapons and, you know, boost up things with your shields and stuff.
And I think each phase or, you know, of attack, it will the objective is for you to secure the pod.
Correct.
And then, you know, once you secure, you got to hold it off.
Correct.
While the enemy is being attacked.
Yeah.
But if you lose the pod, you have to secure it within a few seconds, and then or not, you lose.
Or you lose it. Yeah. And when you do secure the pod, if you hold on for long enough time, you have the ability for power-ups. It releases 2 or 3 power-ups. So you can have something that will it will be an infantry-based gun, so you plant it on the ground, and as soon as infantry come running past it, it blasts them. Or you can have a vehicle turret, or you can have a big shield for you and your squad.
Mm.
So, you know, it kind of mixes it up. The problem is it's quite random. So when it releases these power-ups, you don't know what they are until you've collected them. So, you know, depending on what you've decided to kit yourself out with, if you have a heavy blaster and you have a shield already, if you pick up a shield for a squad, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think it's also because we're fairly new as well to all this, you know, pickups that you can get.
Yeah.
So when I remember when I was playing and when I get a pickup, I immediately deploy them,
right,
not knowing that, I should have actually used this for a later time. And also,
correct.
Yeah, there are a lot of mistakes there, I think, because we're still so unfamiliar with all the gameplay and all. So moving on to multiplayer. Multiplayer, they gave us two types of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Walker Assault.
Yeah.
And one is sort of like a, it's a larger scale of like a deathmatch.
Correct.
In a way, right?
Yeah.
So again, the maps are gorgeous in this
beautiful
thing.
Looking
it's,
things.
It's just something that, you know, we've always seen in the cinema and we've always, you know, seen in other types of you know, visual references and, you know, some wallpapers. A lot of people have wallpapers of Star Wars and all. Now to finally be able to walk around freely,
right?
And the maps are huge.
And I think the thing is, when we first saw the trailers for it, you know, we were saying it looks beautiful. Please do not let us down.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of like playability and the maps. And they haven't. You know, you can walk around and the rocks look like rocks. And you can shoot the rocks and it disintegrates as you imagine a rock would, not just like some kind of sprites disappearing into particles.
You know? I was a bit afraid when I was watching the trailer and I was thinking, it's like, right, the map looks big, but, you know, it may be a very linear type of gameplay. Like,
right,
you're only allowed to a certain area and so forth, but it's not.
Nope.
It's really open as you would imagine. And if you have a jetpack, you can actually jump up all the way to,
correct,
you know, to a higher rock that you can't climb up. You can only use a jetpack to get to that area.
And I think what kind of sets it apart from something like Battlefield, which a lot of people are kind of comparing it to, is that you have the ability to run around in third person as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite smart. It gives you a bigger frame of view. So I don't see, or I can't imagine there will be a lot of people using first person view. Although I did. I mean,
I loved it all the time.
But if you look at reviews by people like Jack Frags, for example, he was saying, why would anybody use first-person view when if you use third-person, you can actually see who's coming up behind you and it gives you the kind of drop on them. But I'm like...
But apparently, someone broke down the accuracy on the third-person view isn't as accurate as the first-person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So and DICE apparently did say that there is a difference in the way that the accuracy is being done for third-person and first-person.
Right.
And they're trying to work on it so that it becomes accurate, but they're trying to give you a different sort of feel as well. When you play a first person and you play a third person, you have that different accuracy and the different speed as well in terms of how you play the game.
I never tried third person. As soon as
I
was like, nope.
You're a Battlefield player, so
exactly.
You know, I'm never going to play Battlefield as a third person point of view. No way. Anyway, so that's for me, like, the look and feel of it, and, you know, watching the AT-ATs, you know, when they fall down and they crush the part just because, you know, you used the blaster and you blew it all up, I thought, like, wow, this is so good. But in terms of the things that I don't quite like about the game, and we had this chat immediately after we were playing it, it's like the first thing we said, like, it's not that challenging.
Right, yes. It seems to be a lot more kind of casual, for casual gamers, I think. And I think what DICE have done with this Star Wars franchise is very smart. Because what they've done is that they realize there are people who still love the original Star Wars. So they're 30, 40-year-old gamers who want to be able to game because it's Star Wars alongside kids who are 14 and 15.
Yeah.
So if you've got a 40-year-old gamer, and I almost include myself in that, you know, you have to make it easily accessible. And I think hitting it right and getting the right balance is, I think, what they've done. Mm. And I can understand, though, on the other hand, why people who are, you know, pro gamers and they're very much into their game have said it's a little bit too easy. It can be. It seems to be quite simple. The time to kill, as like the TTK, is very small.
Yeah.
You know, you can see some guy, pop, 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 he's already dead. I mean, I was going like 17-7 in Star Wars.
And, I remember
this would never happen.
In Battlefield, when I first joined, I think I had like 2 kills and like 27 deaths or something like that. But it's the complete opposite with Battlefront.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, 20 kills and, you know, 23 deaths. It was very close even. And I think that's, like you said, I think they're trying to cater to a lot more bigger audience because there are a lot more fans who are Star Wars fans who, you know, don't quite like to play first-person shooter games or third-person shooter games. But
they
want to
play Star Wars.
They want to play Star Wars. So you've got to make it easier.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the problem I had was that I was thinking about it, like, you know, Battlefield 4 has been around for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still engaged with Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Battlefront can keep me entertained for.
That's a good question.
I had good fun with it, but for only like 20 minutes before I decide, like, right, I need to switch up to a different game. And then I move to either Rocket League, which we'll talk about it later, or, you know, I go back to Battlefield 4 or Grand Theft Auto. I could never play more than two games in Battlefront.
Right.
And I'm hoping that this is because it's just a beta.
Right.
And when they do launch the full game, there will be more game modes and, you know, there'll be a very immersive single-player game that I can complete the whole story. But I don't think it will reward me in the way that Battlefield 4 has done for 2 years now. Really.
Right, right. I think two things spring to mind when you say that. First, you're right. I think it you have to have a real love of Star Wars for it to be something that's sustaining, I think. I think after the hype of the launch in the first few weeks, like any other game, everybody will be on it. Everybody will be level 20 within a couple of weeks, you know. But the love of it could diminish, and I suppose that is kind of dependent on your love for Star Wars.
Yeah.
If you're a huge Star Wars fan, you're very likely to go back to it every other weekend or every weekend. But yeah, I think for me it would probably sustain things because I like the fact that it's easy and I can kill more people and not worry so much about it. But and I think that's what they're doing is that they're planning on getting the like I said before, the older people involved and the younger kids who can find it a little bit easier. Mm.
Now, the other problem that they had was, and this is something that, you know, DICE or EA itself has always had issues whenever they do launch.
Spawns. Oh.
We always have this issue
right.
whenever we play a game that is from DICE.
Yeah.
I mean, Battlefield 4 had a lot of spawning problems, even up till 2 years, and, you know, only recently, a couple of months ago, they released a patch for, you know, new updates and stuff, and Battlefield Hardline still has
horrendous spawns.
Spawns. Same goes with Battlefront, and I don't understand why they still can't get it right.
Right. Well, I mean, first of all, you've got a whole bunch of people playing a single, the same game, right? So the mathematics behind that, I guess, is pretty complicated. But you're right, it's so annoying. You know, you can spawn into one place, you turn around, and there's four guys behind you ready to shoot you.
Immediately.
They know where you're going to spawn. It's a big issue. DICE, I know, are aware of it. They said they're going to try and address it already. But just to kind of add on to that, little things alongside the spawning was an issue for me. Things like using the turrets, right? The turrets are supposed to be the rebel strongholds. If you're a member of the Empire, you shouldn't be able to go into the turret in their base and kind of turn around and shoot
them instead.
You know, if you're playing Battlefield, for example, and you fly over the opposing team's area, you get shot down by a surface-to-air rocket kind of thing. Something like that would help balance it out, I think. Mm.
Yeah, I think balancing was an issue as well because in Walker Assault, it was difficult to win if you're a rebel.
Right.
But it was way more easier if you're playing the Imperials.
Right.
And DICE did say that as well. They came out with a statement that, the balancing in terms of the rebels and the Imperials are a bit one-sided at the moment because when you play Walker Assault, it's just so difficult. But the good thing is, like, you know, once the game is over, you switch things around and then you're like, I'm on a winning streak now.
It's that
problems that I think as all beta games would have. And I think this is a very clever way that, you know, they gave it away for free for beta for 5 days. Everyone went on it.
Yeah.
I remember when you can see, you know, with the new PlayStation update as well, you can see the friends who are playing games, all of them were playing Battlefield, Battlefront itself.
Right.
So.
But I mean, we talk about it being a beta, but we also have to bear in mind that it's probably, a month away from launch date.
Oh, yeah.
So if they are developing problems for these, fixes for these problems that we're talking about now, have they already realized that they're there? Because that month time frame is not a long time to fix the problems that everybody seems to be talking about.
There's going to be a lot of updates to be done.
That's the problem. That's the problem we had with Battlefield 4 launch. Mm. It was horrible at launch. They needed patch after patch after patch after patch. And like you say, 2 years later, we still have problems with it. You know, this is Star Wars. It has to be right the first time.
Yeah. The other one where I never really got to try it, but our mutual friend did manage to try, is the hero pickups.
Right.
So you get to play either as, you know, Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan has taught you well. Show us this path.
I didn't have chance to try any of it.
Me neither.
Because I couldn't find it. Whenever I did find it on the map, you know, someone just takes it away before I get. And I think everyone who were playing with me in the game were all waiting, walking around, waiting for the hero pickup to appear. And then, you know, they start to play Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. But from just watching gameplays of people playing, you know, while watching streaming YouTube gaming and Twitch and all, there were some issues that, you know, they were talking about where, you know, whenever you play Luke Skywalker or you play Darth Vader, there's a very nice intro scene of him or, you know, or Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader making an appearance into the fight. But they felt that it's a bit disconnected whenever, you know, you can only play Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker for a certain number of time.
Right.
And your life will, you know, slowly get decreased unless you get shot. It decreases even more. But the thing is, when he dies, when Darth Vader dies or Luke Skywalker dies, they just die. Like,
right.
And they aren't supposed to die. Like,
correct. Yeah.
You have an exit scene, right, you know, so that they retreat back. And, you know,
something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've read that. And some of the other things to pick up on was I was reading about some of the animations are not quite right for the heroes as well. When you're playing Darth Vader, the cape can kind of flare up when it shouldn't be. You know, there's elements of Luke Skywalker freezing in midair as he dies or whatever. I mean, everybody wants to play those characters, and you know, it's not surprising that there's a whole bunch of people waiting around that one area where they know it's going to happen. And it's the same with when you get to pick up the vehicle pickups as well. You had the people sat around waiting for that. But all I wanted to do was just get in an X-Wing fighter, and I didn't get that chance. And I cannot wait until this game is launched so I can do that and do the whole thing.
All right. So since now the beta is out, it's over already.
It's gone.
Are you going to pre-order, Rich?
Of course I am.
Despite all
of
the problems.
Of course.
You see, we're all
I'm ridiculous like that. I mean, I looked at the price. Was it 259 ringgit? Pre-ordered deluxe version. I'm a sucker.
All right. And I'm sure we all are going to be pre-ordering that. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about Kojima, who's left Konami. BFM 89.9. And we're back. This is Game Time. You're on episode 7. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Richard Bradbury. Early on, we did a short review of the Star Wars Battlefront demo gameplay of, you know, all the things that we didn't like. There were so many things that we didn't like, but we're still going to pre-order
of course.
It because we're fans.
Yes.
And we're, you know, just really crazy bad gamers, and it's a game that makes us look good.
Come on, I mean, it's December. You've got Star Wars, the movie being released, the game
the
is released.
Out as well. Anyways, big news. Metal Gear Solid creator Hideo Kojima, he's left.
Right.
Konami.
Yeah. So I picked this up originally on the 19th. There's something published in The New Yorker. It was then published on another website called Polygon, I believe it's called.
Yeah, Polygon.
Where they've said that according to The New Yorker, they reported that October the 9th was Kojima's last day at Konami, citing an anonymous source who attended his farewell party. As we know, the strain has been around since March.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that, he started to put out these odd tweets that kind of said, or kind of not directly said, but that he might be moving on. The whole thing with Silent Hills in April as well, that's all kind of off. So we know he was the guy behind Metal Gear Solid. The Phantom Pain was the kind of last piece he worked on. His name, his studio name was removed from the game's box art and all other promotional materials.
Yep.
You know, he's been with them since 1986.
Oh, wow.
You know.
That's the year that I was born, by the way.
Oh, yes. Just rub it in a little bit. But, I mean, the discussion now kind of moves to, why has it happened? Why has he left? Is he bored with it? One thing or another. And I think the kind of the deeper question is that whether or not console games is still an active market in Japan.
Exactly.
And what they're saying is that no, it's not. The future is in
mobile
gaming. As we know, Kojima has said cinema is the driving force behind his art and his work. You can't have that on a mobile device.
He creates cinematic experience games, right? Metal Gear Solid is a prime example of it. And even, you know, and he's the type of person who's so meticulous, and he's very particular in, you know, in all the styles. Since there was a delay in Phantom Pain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is partly the reason of why he left, because Konami, the studio that he was working with, they were moving towards, you know, like you said, mobile gaming is the future, right?
Yeah.
And mobile gaming is a lot more quicker.
Yeah.
It's a lot more faster.
And it's cheaper on the pocket.
So much more cheaper as well.
Well, I mean, he was running at around 80 million.
80 million for Phantom Pain.
Right, yeah.
But they did make 179 million on the first day itself.
Right.
Which is apparently more than Avengers Age of Ultron and Jurassic Park combined.
Wow.
Together. But again, I think it's the time that, you know, he spent on creating a game like this, the delay after delay. Although it's a successful game, it isn't the direction that Konami itself wants to go.
Well, I mean, looking at mobile games, they're cheap to produce. They bring significant returns for very little development. You know, people just want to be able to log on whilst they're waiting for a bus or, you know, on the toilet or whatever. They play for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's done.
And Kojima himself I cannot see him making any games for the mobile platform.
Never.
I just don't think the mobile phone is ready for a Kojima world.
No, it's not. Because, you know, even some of the cutscenes are like 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Phantom Pain.
Yes. How long was that first
intro? The first intro is like, oh my God, this is a long intro, you know. It's a whole cinematic experience, and he's a fan of it.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a clause in his contract that he's not allowed to join another gaming studio until December.
Right.
And I'm sure he will be, come December, he will, you know, have his own probably.
Now, this got me thinking. Can you imagine a non-compete clause in his for 2 months?
Yeah.
For a guy who spends how long developing a game? He's just like, I don't care. That's like a blink of an eye to me.
Exactly.
2 months, what does that mean? Nothing.
For him, it's just probably a new idea for a new franchise or something,
yeah,
right? And then you spend another year making it.
It'll be about some big computer games corporation who kicks out one of their lead developers, you know, to make mobile video games.
That happens in, like, you know, in between the Afghan war at the moment and all that, right?
Right.
So have a linkage to Phantom Pain. But, you know, one thing just before we leave is that I don't know if he will be able to stay in Japan, because, like, Rich, you mentioned that, you know, Japan, the country itself, in terms of the gaming market, it's all moving to mobile. That is a huge portion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if he's still going to be in Japan. If I was Kojima, I'll probably look into, you know, the States, because, you know, just go across the Atlantic and, you know, find something there, because games from the States are a lot more cinematic. You know, you could see, you know, Grand Theft Auto, for example.
Right.
Those kind of games would probably be something that he would be.
You see, all he needs to do to rub salt in the wounds is move to Microsoft.
Oh, dear.
No. Can you imagine?
Anyways, review time. Now, this is a game review, but to be honest with you, I don't actually think it's a game. By definition, it's a video game. But it's much closer to, like, watching a video or a movie and a story rather than actual playing a game like The Last of Us or something like that, right?
Right.
The game is called Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
This is Dr. Catherine Collins. I don't know if anyone will ever hear this. It's all over. I'm the only one left.
It's developed by the Chinese Room, and the game is about a deep story that takes place in a small town in England. Have you been to this town? Is this a real town? It's called Shropshire.
Shropshire is a county, so it will be a town inside the county, yeah.
All right, so, and everybody's gone, basically. You're the only one, and you play as this character or a force, and we're not quite sure what are you, because you can't really see hands, or you can't play third-person views. You're a first-person view, but you don't see hands and legs, so it's a bit weird. I'm not sure what are you exactly.
Okay.
And the thing is that you soon realize that everybody's gone, and your role is to find out why. Why did everybody go?
Okay.
All right? And you might be thinking, this is like The Silent Hill or like The Last of Us, but actually it's not. It's more of a story that you need to uncover. You follow this light particle, and this light particle will sort of guide you roughly where you should go. And the only interaction you have is just one button, which is a circle button. And, you know, when you come up to a radio, you could just press circle and the radio will turn on and it will tell you a story, and then that's it. It's gone. You can't replay it at
oh,
all.
Oh, oh.
So it is something that you constantly have to develop in your mind
in
order to build up the story and to understand where did everybody go.
Sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting. Graphics looks amazingly beautiful. Like it's properly constructed. It's not scary.
There's a butt coming, isn't there?
It's slow.
Right.
It's so slow. Like, you can't run. Apparently, you can. I was looking up, and apparently they did say you can run if you press the R2 button for 7 seconds, and then it will run. But it's not run like Battlefield Run or Battlefront Run. It's more like a jog.
More like my kind of run.
Yeah. Right. More like your kind of run. But it's still slow. It is very slow. And it's not scary as well. I mean, it will from day will turn to night and then will turn to day as well. But there's no body there. There's no zombies coming after you. There's no creatures or animals or birds or nothing. You're just alone and you just follow this light particle and, you know, you interact with radio or the door.
Are you saying it's boring?
I did find it slightly boring. But the weird thing is that everyone, game reviewers, are giving this like a 9 out of 10.
Right.
The lowest that I've seen is like a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Can I quickly jump in?
Yeah.
Right. So from what I understand, there's not enough excitement in it for you, but it looks beautiful.
It looks beautiful.
And there's not enough interaction, perhaps, right?
Yeah.
I watched a video, a little bit of a video, and I've read a bit about it, and it kind of, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. Do you remember those text-based you probably don't, actually. Text-based games
you.
Where you're kind of stuck in a room. Do you remember those? And you had to type
in. Oh, yes, I do. Right. Yes, yes, yes.
It reminds me of a visual representation of that.
But at least that had a lot more different types of interaction. Imagine just playing a game where the only thing you can interact is the TV and the radio.
Right.
And that's it. These are the only two objects that you can interact throughout the whole game.
But it kind of leaves a bit of mystery, does it not?
It leaves a mystery because you tend to get lost into the message itself because you're listening to... Whenever you do interact with the radio, for example, it will broadcast a message of when people were still around and it will play you a clip of, you know, two people having a conversation. And they were having a conversation of, you know... I can't give away much because it is the core of the... It's the only thing the game has is the story. Hence, I can't really tell you what the story is because then there's no point you playing it, right?
Right.
So, you know, it will tell you like two people are having conversation before, you know, the people were away. But the conversation is just like a conversation that me and you would have in the office.
Oh.
And it's something that I'm like, okay, that sounds like a fairly normal conversation, so I'm just going to carry on. And when you carry on, it's sort of like continues off where the conversation was left. And, you know, you follow, you will hear a few character names being repeated. And you find like, okay, maybe this person is the daughter of that person. You create this story. You link it together in your mind. The problem is when you stop playing the game for maybe a day or two, or for me, like, will be a week, and then you join back again, I'm a bit lost as to what happened previously, because I can't replay back the clips that I've played before.
Right.
So I have to always constantly remember what the story is. And I thought that probably is a problem, because I can't spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours playing one game anymore.
True.
If we were younger, we would be able to do it.
At college, perhaps.
At college, perhaps, you know, spend a whole night. I'm sure we could finish the game in one day.
Right.
And I'm guessing a lot of the reviewers who gave this very high rating star is simply because they managed to complete the game.
You see, and that would be a problem as well. If you're playing this game with your friend sat by your side, for example.
Your friend will sleep off after 5 minutes.
Either that, or, you know, if they have a little bit of a nap and then they wake up an hour later and they say, what happened? And you're like, well, you've missed half the game and I can't go back and replay it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, I saw a 5-minute clip. It looks beautiful. I saw the intro and whatnot. And I have to admit, it kind of made me think I'd like to go and download this and I'd like to play it.
Yeah.
But like you say, I'm not going to have time to spend 4 or 5 hours in one sitting playing it.
Yeah, I think you need. So if you don't have the time and if you're thinking of, I want to play a different type of game, then maybe you could try Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. But I'm going to go against all the other game reviewers online. I'm going to probably give this like a 2 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because simply because I got bored of it after a while. Don't get me wrong, I think it's still a very beautiful game. The story is really good, and I can't tell you the story because of, you know, it's going to give out everything that the game has. And it's not that expensive. It's a digital-only download for the PS4. It's 72 ringgit.
So that's okay.
That's all right. So if you know, if you have like a day of, you know, about 4 or 5 hours and you just want to kill, yeah, everybody's gone to the Rapture. It'll be a good game for, you know, sitting down at home on a Saturday evening, do whatever Richard does on a Saturday evening.
And, it's not much, I can tell you that.
Not much.
Not much.
Not much. Anyways, moving on to a game that is completely different,
right.
Scale itself, Rocket League.
Yes.
This finally, after like, I don't know how long, our friend who's, our mutual friend who's not, you know, in Asia, he's in Europe, and, you know, he's got the game.
Oh, he was going on about it for a long time.
For a very long time.
I remember reading an article in Telegraph about this back in August when it was released in Europe, and the first line was brilliant. The first line is, it's car football, Jeff, but not as we know it. Yeah. It's exactly that.
It is. And it is the weirdest combination on paper ever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was seeing it, I was like, wow, remote control looking cars with a football gaming element. That's going to be interesting.
And a free download. To
and
boot.
A free download for the PS Plus subscribers.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it is such a fun game.
Yeah.
It is so high tempo. It is so fast paced that it's one of those games where you get in straight into the action.
Yeah.
There is no tutorials and all that. You can do it if you want, but you know, the game is just free in that sense. Get in, multiplayer, search for a game, bang, you're in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see everyone is just going around in this, you know, it's like this dome, football dome, and you could, you know, drive up the side of the wall, make a U-turn, and then come back down and use your booster and kick the ball and probably score in one goal.
Yeah? Right,
so
right.
It is a very fun
heck
game.
Heck of a lot of fun. Very quick. Very pretty little graphics. Like you say, it's a free download if you're a PS Plus member.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember a couple of months ago where there were issues with it in Europe.
Overheating.
And the PS4 would be going crazy
and
whatever, but they seem to have patched that a little
bit. It still slightly does get a bit noisy.
Mm-hmm.
I did realize the PS4 fan was slightly noisier than what it would used to be for playing other games and all, but you know, the fun and you putting on the headset and, you know, just listening to the action and the sounds. It has a very good-ish soundtrack as well. It's very poppy, so it gets you into the very fast-paced energy. I love the game. I'm going to give this like a 5 out of 5 because this is such a fun game, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
It's free.
Right.
You know, the best things in life sometimes comes free.
Question.
Yeah.
Could you see this on mobile?
I don't know.
Mm.
Oh, I think...
Because it's a small download.
Yeah,
comparatively.
Relatively small, yeah.
It's pretty quick. You know, you can get on it and start playing within a couple of minutes.
I think it could be dizzy with a smaller screen.
That's a good point, actually.
Because, you know, climbing up the walls from the side and using the booster, it is fast-paced, though. And the camera, you know, you constantly... There's so many controls. And if you use the third-person point of view, you constantly got to change your point of view in order to follow where the ball is.
Mm.
Good thing is there's an indicator to show you where exactly the ball is at the moment. I normally use the ball cam. Hence, you know, I'm actually just... always targeting the ball.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's a nice way, you know, if you can communicate with your friends, you could actually have proper tactics. You know, it's all about centering the ball and one person trying to... It's a bit like basketball doing a 1-2.
Right,
you know, because you can't dribble with a remote control car in a big ball like that. You can't do it. So it's really fun. Do download it. It's for the PS4.
Yeah.
And it's free for the PS Plus subscribers. If you're on the PC, you can get it as well. It's available on Steam for only 38 ringgit.
Oh, bargain.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely go get it.
Definitely get it. Very good game. That's all the time we have for Episode 7. We'll be back next month for Episode 8. And it's also actually my birthday.
Oh.
So we will be doing a very special review of like what I would like to have on my birthday.
This is going to be expensive.
Very expensive. Richard, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This has been Game Time Episode 7, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.